This morning we're looking at the book of Samuel. This is, of course, one of the most popular stories that we have in the Word of God. This is David, the story of David and Goliath. This is 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm just going to go through this verse by verse, and we'll just stop at different places. One of the things I love about this account of David and Goliath, this is one of the accounts that every time I read it, you can see more and more truth. There's more things you can apply to your life. And in every verse, there's just a richness in this story. And I think that's part of the reason that it's one of the most popular accounts that we have in the Word of God. So this is David and Goliath. David has already been anointed as the king. Saul's already experiencing his troubles because Saul already has turned his back on the promises, what God has given him. He's turned his back and has disobeyed God. So chapter 17 starts and says, "Now the Philistines, who gathered their armies together to battle, and were gathered at Socah, which belongs to Judah. And they encamped between Socah and Azekah in the Ephes Damon." All right, so it doesn't really matter what all those are. Here's the important thing to know. And we're going to get a better picture of this. The Philistines are the continual enemy of God's people. The Philistine are the continual enemy of the Israelites. And especially in this time frame of the kingdom of Israel. The kingdom with Saul and the kingdom with David and the kingdom with, not so much with Solomon, but you do see this is the main enemies with Saul and with David is the Philistines. And the Philistines have gathered their armies up against Saul and the Israelites. Now, one of the places that, which we've been in Israel now 3 years, and one of the things that amazes me is until we set up our last tour, we set it up and we asked specifically to go to certain locations. And what amazes me is the two times we've been there before when we trusted other people to set it up, and I've talked to a lot of people that have gone to Israel, there's not a lot of people that go to this spot. Now, they don't know exactly where this took place, but they got a pretty good idea. And you can be right in the general area of where this took place. And that's a phenomenal place to be. Brought back 5 stones. If you go to my study, you'll see there's 5 smooth stones that I've picked up from the riverbed right down there where David had that clash with Goliath. So the Philistines are for a long period of time, seemingly the perennial enemies of the Israelites, the enemy of God's people. So we can look at this and who's the enemy of your life? We go through our life and sometimes, and I don't want to give a lot of credit to Satan. I don't want to give a lot of time. But you need to realize that there is an enemy of your soul. There is someone that does hate you and wants to see you destroyed and does not want you to enjoy the things that you have as a child of God. That does not want you walking in all the victories and all the freedom and all the power and all the authority that is yours in Jesus Christ. You need to understand that, not in a fearful way, but understand it. And understand but there's a spiritual battle that's taking place. Now, the good news is you need to stand, but you don't need to fight. You need to stand, but you already have the victory because Jesus has already established the victory. But this story of David and Goliath kind of gives us a picture. It's like a representation of what's taking place spiritually so many times. So the Philistines are gathered up their armies against the Israelites. Verse number 2, "And Saul and the men of Israel gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah, and they drew up in a battle array against the Philistines." So if you picture this, and in Israel, you have that valley, and there's a mountain on one side, and there's a hill on one side, and a hill on another side. And you can just picture the Philistines gathered up on one side, and the Israelites, their army gathered up on the other, and they face each other off. They're drawn up, they've drawn up battle array against each other. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. This is the picture that we get. "And a champion went from the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath, from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." Now here's the thing. Picture yourself, and this is the daily battle that takes place in our lives. And this is the problem when we look at things in this life. You know, I was just reading this morning in Mark when you read the story of Jesus healing the man who was blind. And this is the only time you ever see that Jesus actually laid hands on someone twice. So he laid hands on him and asked the man what he saw. And the man saw that he saw men walking as trees. In other words, his sight was back, but it was not fully restored. He had been blind before, but now he could see, but he just couldn't see clearly. And then Jesus prays again and puts his hands on him again, and the man is healed. Now, does this mean that the power of God, sometimes you need to pray twice for the power of God to work? No, what this means is, this is a man that he, and this is what we tend to do. When we are faced with a spiritual battle, when we're faced with something that has come up against us, our tendency is we pray, and then we look to see if the circumstances have changed. And if they haven't changed, that's our determining factor. We tend to decide, well, I prayed, but everything looks the same. Nothing looks different. And then we don't believe. See, this man prayed, and then he opened his eyes to look and see, does it look different? Do things look different? And when things didn't look completely right, then he didn't fully believe that he was healed. The healing was there for him. So many times what we do is we look at the circumstances, and if the circumstances don't match up with what we just prayed for, if it appears the circumstances have not changed yet, then we don't believe that our prayer worked. Truth of the matter is, prayer works. It doesn't matter what you see. It doesn't matter what things look like. You continue to stand on the Word and you continue to believe. If you continue to stand on the Word and you continue to believe, I'm going to say that again. If you continue to stand on the Word, it doesn't matter what things look like. If you continue to stand on the Word and you continue to believe the Word, regardless of how things appear, if you continue to stand, then eventually the circumstances will line up with the Word of God and the promises. You can't make the determining factor of whether or not prayer works based on what you see. Now, I know that sounds counterintuitive, but just because you don't see it right now doesn't mean that it's not done. You can see examples in the Old Testament where prayer was taking place, but there was a time lapse, and I don't want to go into all the details on why, but you can see why there's spiritual battles that take place. There was a time lapse between as soon as the prayer was prayed, it was answered, it was done. It just took a matter of time for it to come from the spiritual realm and be manifested in the natural realm. It was done. It was already done. See, for this man, he was in the healing was there, and the healing was being manifested. And here's what he could have done. When he opened up his eyes and he only saw partial sight, he could have just continued to stand and believe and said, you know what, I don't see it all, but it's coming, and I know I'm getting the whole thing. Thank you, Jesus. And the healing would have continued, and he would have been totally healed. Now, instead, he looked, as we do, and things didn't match up with what he had prayed for. And Jesus, reading between the lines, because Jesus knows all things, because he knows the man's heart, Jesus clearly knew that this man was wavering, was going to settle for this. But Jesus had total healing for him. And so he spoke that word over him again, to bring the fullness of that healing. Well, it was already there. He just brought the fullness of it. So here we have the Philistines on one side of the mountain and the Israelites on the other side of the mountain. And this is the way our life is so many times. And what happens is they send out their champion. So here comes Goliath. Goliath is an intimidating figure because Goliath is so much huger, dominantly larger, I mean obscenely larger, in a frightening way, over all of the rest of the Philistines and over all of the Israelites as well. That's an intimidating thing. How can we beat this man? How can a giant of this size, how can any man, any normal man, overcome a giant like this? This is what the enemy does. He brings circumstances into your life that look impossible. He brings things that give the appearance of impossibility so that we won't believe. Now, we're going to read about this in just a few minutes. Well, maybe tomorrow. But we're going to read about this. And when you read through the story, you can read it today. When you read through the story, you see that David, he wasn't intimidated by the size of the giant because he knew the promise that he had. He knew the covenant that he had, that all of Israel had. But he knew it, and he applied it to himself. He understood the covenant, the promise that he had in God, and he knew it didn't matter how things appeared. The size of Goliath was totally irrelevant. All that truly mattered was the fact that David was a man that was in covenant with God. What are the things in your life that look overwhelming and look impossible? You know, maybe there's a sickness that you've had that you've battled that sickness for months or even years, and it looks overwhelming. And the circumstances of your life would suggest, well, I've never been able to get victory over it. It looks like Goliath. It looks impossible. And that's what Satan wants you to see. He wants you to look at the circumstances. Because if you look at the circumstances, you'll be intimidated. And if you look at the circumstances and you're intimidated, you're less likely, in fact, you're unlikely, to then possess the promises. You're then unlikely to be able to continue to walk forward in faith and walk totally into all that full promise that Jesus has for you. Satan will send circumstances into your life that are Goliaths, that are giant, that seem overwhelming, that seem impossible, and that intimidate us in the natural. But this is why we can't look. This is why we can't make decisions on whether or not the Word of God works, whether our prayer worked, based on whether I see it right away. If you pray for something and you don't see it manifested right away, don't throw up your hands in dismay and say, well, that didn't work. We have to try something else. Have confidence in the knowledge that the Word of God is true. Have confidence in the knowledge that what Jesus has done, He has done. The work is finished. Whatever giant you're facing, you have the victory in Jesus Christ. The work is finished. Jesus has done and completed the work. You have all that you need. Here's what I do. When I'm praying, I'm not making Jesus do something. If I'm facing a sickness, when I pray against it, I'm not praying against the sickness so that Jesus will come and do something to give me a victory of the sickness. He already has. The Bible says that by His stripes we were healed. So Jesus did the work. He's already, His blood was shed to pay the price. Part of salvation. You look at the word salvation, sozo. It even has a strong indication, a strong implication. It points to healing. There is an element of healing that is a part of salvation. So He's already done the work. When I'm praying, I'm not asking Jesus to come do something. What I'm doing is I'm praying and I'm speaking that truth. That truth, that reality, that spiritual realm reality that's already done, I'm speaking that into this natural reality. I don't have to make Jesus get up and do something. He's already done it. I just need to bring it from the natural, from the spiritual realm to be manifested here in my life, in this physical reality. So if there's a sickness, what I'm doing when I speak against sickness, what I'm doing is I'm having the spiritual realm reality, which is the greater reality, displace the natural or the physical realm reality, which is the lesser reality. Now, if I don't see it take place right away, that doesn't mean that the spiritual realm reality didn't work or isn't as powerful. It just means it hasn't yet been fully manifested. It just means it hasn't yet been realized fully in the natural realm. You just continue to stand and you believe the Word and you thank Jesus for the Word. You praise Him and you thank Him even before you see it done. Then you will see it done. It will. You stand on the Word, and if the circumstances are contrary to the Word, as you stand on the Word, the circumstances will eventually line up with the Word. But Satan will bring a Goliath. He'll bring a circumstance in your life that looks impossible to intimidate us, so that we will, out of fear, because fear is what's going to hinder us, he will bring a Goliath, a situation or a circumstance into your life to cause you to fear, because in fear, you will not be able to operate in faith. Fear is contrary to faith. And this is exactly what we see. In the story of David and Goliath, it's an illustration of what the enemy still does in your life today. So the Philistines stood on one mountain side of the mountain, the Israelites on the other. Here comes the champion, Goliath, from the Philistines, from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. That just means he's monstrously huge. You think about the huge people that we know in our life. I don't think there's anybody we've ever seen that has been as big as Goliath is. That would be intimidating in the natural. But this is why we cannot focus on the natural. You focus on the promise. David knew the promise. He knew that he was a man in covenant. And he knew that's all that mattered. Size of Goliath was totally irrelevant. Because he knew, because of his covenant, he knew that he already had the victory. Even though the battle hadn't even been fought yet, he had the victory. He already knew that Goliath was defeated. Even before the battle took place, David knew, because he was a man in covenant. So size was irrelevant. It didn't matter if Goliath could have been a giant or a dwarf. It wouldn't have mattered. Because David had a covenant. So he knew what the outcome was. This is the way that we have to view the Goliaths, the giants, the intimidations that the enemy brings into our lives. We view it as it's irrelevant what we see. It's totally irrelevant. What you see in the natural realm is totally irrelevant because you are in covenant with Jesus Christ. And in that covenant you have with Jesus Christ, you have the fullness. You have the fullness of all His promises. You have the victory. It's already established. Whether you see it or not, it's already established. David knew Goliath was defeated before the battle even took place. So size was irrelevant. What you see in the natural is not what matters. This is why when Peter was walking on the water, he was walking on the water. But it says that then he looked at the waves and the wind. And out of the waves and the wind, looking at the waves and the wind, he began to doubt and he sank. And he began to sink. Okay, well, why? This is what happens when we look at the natural. See, it's totally irrelevant. The natural with Peter was totally irrelevant. It's impossible in the physical. It is impossible to walk on the water. Whether it's wavy and windy is irrelevant. Whether it's smooth, if there was no waves or no wind at all, it's still impossible to walk on the water. So the waves and the wind were totally irrelevant. He's doing the impossible. But this is why we can't look at the natural. Because if you look at the natural, then the circumstances become a Goliath. It becomes the intimidation that tells you it's not working. Know that the word is true. Know that His promises are true for you. And whatever Goliath is in front of you, whatever giant the enemy has placed in front of you to intimidate you and to cause you to be fearful, just like David, you have to look at it and say, it doesn't matter whether it's huge or whether it's nothing. Whether it's huge or small, it's totally irrelevant. Because I already have the victory. In Jesus Christ, you already have the victory. Our job is to enforce it, and we enforce it by speaking it and believing it. And if you believe it, you can praise Him for it before you even see it done. Don't be like the blind man who looked at the circumstances, and the circumstances suggested he was not healed. It didn't matter. It doesn't matter what the circumstances suggest. It doesn't matter what the circumstances seem to indicate. Because all that matters at the end of the day, you have the victory of Jesus Christ. You have the victory. Whether you can see it right now, whether it looks like it right now or not, totally irrelevant. You have it. You continue to stand and you continue to believe. And you know what? Then those giants, the giants the enemy has placed before you, they become totally irrelevant.